looking at a couple of, you know, the last week we were in Andhra. There was a retreat for the priest and for the bishop of that place and for a lot of nuns. How many of you prayed for that? The Lord heard your prayer. Amen. It was really powerful. The Lord touched almost everyone who came there. Every priest and every nun, they had an experience with the Lord. And while I was in that place, I saw a particular vision which was very disturbing for me. And wherever I go, the burden of the ministry is always there. So I was thinking of the ministry and praying. The Lord began to show me a vision. It was of lands that were there. The top looked very beautiful. And the plants were moving in the wind, and it was very beautiful to look at that. Plants moving in the wind. But the roots were not there. When the vision became more clearer, the roots were not there, but the top part of the plant was there. It was moving. Very beautiful to look at from outside. But the roots were not there. And I thought it was for the ministry. So I began to pray and I thought I'll just spend some time in the Word again. And I was just praying and praying and groaning in the Spirit, saying, Lord, what is this? What is this? The Lord said, that is what is happening across the world, across the church. Many of them do not know their spiritual root. And so I said, Lord, I want to learn something. Let it be very simple. Let it be something very simple, but I want to learn. What are those roots that you're speaking about? And so today, I want to speak to you with the help of the Spirit, I pray, about the roots. Your spiritual root. It's about the church of the New Testament. The New Testament church. When we hear this word church, we have immediately the Catholic Church coming into our mind, then we have the Jacobite Church, the Mathoma Church, the Protestant churches, the Pentecostal churches, all that coming into our mind. And we are speaking only of denominations when we speak about those things. Now, I'm not speaking about any of those things. I'm speaking about what the Word of God has to say on the church. Amen. And what the church, simple things of the church. It's very simple. But just to bring into our awareness and into our spirit so we can be set free and can know where our roots are. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, I want us to open the scriptures to the Acts of the Apostles. The first chapter. And the 8th verse, which we all know. But let us read it together. Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, and verse 8. Are you with me today? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the world. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you. The early church was a church of power. I mean, power was the central thing that they had. It was not the structure that they had. Nothing else but power. power that they had. It was not the structure that they had. But there are times when you look into a magazine or you look into a thing of a church and you find a large crowd. I mean, large choir, a large crowd. It was nothing like that. The basic thing, what the church had was power. Are you with me? Power. And that is the same power that is available to you and to me because we are the body of Christ. Amen. Now remember, in the Old Testament, when the judgment was going to come upon the world, God saved their generation through the ark that Noah built. Now, Noah's ark in the Old Testament is the shadow of the New Testament church. In the Old Testament, when the world was going to be destroyed by the flood because of the wickedness that had risen against God, and since there was no one righteous before God, the Bible says God found a man who was righteous. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and God asked him to build an ark. Now it is a shadow of the substance of the church in the New Testament. Remember, Noah was a carpenter, and the New Testament church is also by a carpenter, Jesus of Nazareth. There are times in your life when you cannot see, you cannot hear any cracking of wood. There are times you cannot hear that sound coming through. There are times that the tools or the nuts and the bolts, you cannot hear that sound. But remember, that's the time you should remember the carpenter is somewhere slightly polishing some part of you. Are you with me? Both were built by carpenters. There was no trial run for Noah's ark. It was it. The floods came, the water rose, and Noah's ark had the function. Are you with me? There was no trial and error. It succeeded the first time. Believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, the New Testament church has also succeeded the very first time. There is no trial run. It is not something that you look for some time. If this doesn't work, maybe this will work. Somewhere along the line, we will fit in. That's not the way. Are you with me? Succeeded the first time. Now, the New Testament church, the scriptures, the first thing that they had was power. Say power. Power. Power for what? The Bible says here, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit of God has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the world. You shall be witnesses to me. About whom is the Bible speaking about? Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus, you shall be witnesses to him. You won't be witnesses to yourself. Are you with me? Well, that is very important. Sometimes people think when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon them, they're going to be witnesses, and they witness about themselves. Well, that's not the way. The Bible is very clear on to whom you will be a witness. You will be a witness to Jesus. A witness is someone who has had a first-hand encounter. A first-hand encounter or a first-hand experience. He's just not someone who has heard and going by what he has heard. But he is going to be an experience. So the early church was a church which had an experience. They had an experience of whom? Of Jesus. They had an experience of the resurrection of the Lord. And they were witnesses to Jesus. And to what area of the life of Jesus were they witness? The area that were witnesses were to the fact that in Acts chapter 4, remember, sometimes not all are called to preach. But the New Testament all were witnesses to Jesus. Are you with me? The 4th chapter of Acts of the Apostles and the 33rd verse. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first aspect to which they gave witness was to the resurrection of Jesus. The people who saw them, they had absolutely no doubt that Jesus Christ was alive. They knew that Jesus was alive, that He was the Lord, that He had died for their sins, and the third day He had resurrected. You remember, Paul, he knew the book of the law, and he thought, since he knew the book of the law, he was doing the right thing by persecuting the Christians. He was a witness to many a person being put to death. But after he had that experience of the Lord on the way to Damascus, where the power of the Lord came upon him, and he encountered who Jesus is, his life changed. No longer was he destroying the very body of Christ, but he knew Jesus was alive. Are you with me? Do you know that Jesus is alive? There are witnesses to the fact that Jesus was alive, that He was the resurrection. Second thing. The 5th chapter of Acts. And 29-32. Then Peter and other disciples answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom He murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin." And the 32nd verse says, "We are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." We are witnesses to the very person of Jesus, what He's done. Acts of the Apostles, the 22nd chapter. 26th chapter, pardon. Paul standing before King Agrippa. And when Paul is standing before King Agrippa, he's saying, "Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those things which the prophets and Moses said would come." He testified to the very scriptures. Are you with me? It was not anything else that they testified about. They testified to the resurrection through the scriptures. Paul standing before King Agrippa, he said, "Jesus, about whom is written in the prophets and in the law, about these things we witness." What are you witnessing about? Or do you do any witness at all? Are you in the ark of God? And this morning, I was praying and I was asking the Lord of what to minister to me. The Lord said, in these coming months that we're going to come into, the Lord said, He's kept a harvest prepared. The fields are ripe for harvest. Bring in the harvest, but let them know what to do. Unless they know what to do, unless they know what to be aware of, unless they are convinced of, remember, your mind is much like the stomach. It is not how much you eat, But how much is digested? That is the question. You can hear a lot of things in your mind, but only what will digest there and stay there will be the only fact that you will witness to. Some people are always eating and eating, but nothing is digested. We don't want to have any digestion problems. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't want to have any digestion problems. They were witnesses. Remember, if somebody were to ask you, somebody who is blind were to ask you what an elephant looks like, what would you say about an elephant? What are the four things that you would say about an elephant if somebody would ask you what an elephant looks like? You would say, there is a trunk, definitely there is a trunk, it's long trunk. Floppy ears. Then it's a very small tail. And then
big legs.
Fourth one, think of something. Whatever. Four legs, mine. What I'm saying is, today what I'm speaking about is four distinctive things about how the church looks like. If somebody were to ask you, what is the church? What would you say? First thing that you should say was, church is people filled with the fire of God. Are you with me? People filled with the fire of God. If power goes out of you, and if there is no power, resurrection power actually goes out of you, there is something to be scared of. I am really scared of. The minute I find that I'm sitting in the presence of the Lord and there is no fire, there is no power, I'm scared. It's about, where have I gone wrong? Where have I stepped out of the line? Where is that I just need to be right back? Where is the power? Psalm 62 and verse 11 says, once God spoke and twice I heard, the power belongs to Him. Once God speaks and twice you hear. Sometimes here God speaks to you twice and not even once you hear. Well, the people there, they wait upon the Lord because the Lord spoke once and said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you. So stay in the city till you are clothed with power from on high. He spoke. They heard. They waited. Nothing would shake them off from that place. Are you with me? God, they wanted it. And they received their power when the Holy Spirit of God came upon them. And there were witnesses to Jesus, remember? A witness to Jesus, witness to His resurrection, a witness unto the Word. Are you with me? Witness unto the forgiveness that you have through the blood. That's what you're a witness to. Yesterday I heard a preacher, I forget what his name was. Dr. Rodney Brown. Rodney Brown. Yesterday evening on TV and he was there. When I came back, I just on the TV, looking at this event, and I found this man was preaching. And he said, you don't go around, people call, tap them on the back, and you don't tell them you're going to hell. It wouldn't be good news at all, would it? The good news is you don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid the price. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to stay sick. You don't have to stay in poverty and depression. You don't have to stay in guilt and shame. The Lord has paid all. You remember, there was a great man of God, was a great preacher. His name was John Wesley. And God had anointed him so much with power and glory that he could minister. And one scripture was so burning in his heart. And the scripture was 2 Corinthians 12. And the 9th verse. Once Wesley had a vision. And the vision was this. I prayed as Wesley. I think it's Wesley. He had a vision. And the vision was this, of a balance. You know what a balance is? Weighing balance. And he saw the right part of it empty. And you saw the left part of it was heavy. It was down. Right part was up, but it was empty. And he was a man who had known the Lord, but who had let down the Lord. And that weight and the burden, the guilt and the shame and the depression was so heavy on the left. He was so troubled by his weakness. And he was seeing that vision. And again he cried to the Lord and said, Lord, what is this? Then the Lord showed him a second vision. The balance was now equal. There was something on the right. There was something on the left. He said, Lord, what is this? Again he began to cry and pray. God showed him the third vision. The right one was full. The left one was empty. Yeah. He said, Lord, I don't understand. Suddenly the Spirit of God spoke to him. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So he said, my grace is sufficient. He began to meditate on it. And so when he was meditating, still the left one was down, the first part of the vision, the right one was up. But there was hope. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for your way. And so this began to go on for some time like that. He said, something is still not right. Why is the third part of the vision not coming through? And he prayed again. The Lord said unto him, son, read the scripture properly again. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And suddenly it struck him. I pray it might strike you. My grace is sufficient for you. He said he knew there was grace of God available. The grace of God is available to everyone who calls on the Lord. But he never realized the grace of God was there for him. There are some of you who say you're believers and walk about. Sometimes you know God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. You know the love of the Lord for the entire world. What about you? Martin Luther used to say, I know there is forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb. Forgiveness for every kind of sin. But he said it is only later that one day he realized there is forgiveness for him. The early church was filled with power, and that is why we say the scripture, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Before Zerubbabel, O great mountain, you shall become a, and they shall bring in the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace. They shall bring in the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace upon it. Remember, from beginning to end, it is the work of grace. Are you with me? And it is the resurrection power of the Lord working through you that partakes you into the divinity of Christ and makes you whole. The early church knew that. That's why they were able to be a witness for the Lord. The second thing. Remember, the supernatural power that was available for them was including in three areas. In actually five areas. Five main areas of power. The first level of area of power was in their praying. They prayed. They prayed with boldness. You remember Acts chapter 4, when the Holy Spirit of God came down, when he came upon the place where they were praying, literally that place shook with the power of the Almighty God. The times when you shake, the times when you fall, but when the place that you're praying in begins to shake, that is something we want. Amen?
Yes.
I was reading a book by Lester Sumrall where he said, the great man of God, he said, there were times in his life when he's been for meetings and when he's been for meetings and he would stand and they would pray together, the power of God would literally come down upon that place, and the place that they were sitting and standing would shake. Maybe the reason why this place is not shaking is because Stephen Jerland is sitting. Maybe they have to like, don't shake it too much, don't even shake it too much. There are weeks all day when the people fall down by the power of God, you know. You hear sound and also glass broken, table broken. But hallelujah, we're going to go into a time of breaking fire. Amen. Second thing was that preaching was in fire, was in power. The fourth thing was, remember, without prayer, you have no power in your life. Remember that. Both ways. Preaching was in power. What is the difference between Old Testament preaching and New Testament preaching? What is the difference between the Old Testament preaching and the New Testament preaching? There was a way which Elijah preached. There's a way which the rest of the disciples, the rest of the people in the Old Testament preached. And there's a difference in the way the New Testament people preach. And the difference is mentioned both in 1 Peter 1. You know, in the first session, I had a strong anointing to preach. I should have continued with my sermon. Second session, I used the dwelling presence of God to preach. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look to. They preached the gospel by the Holy Spirit, and those are things even which the angels desire to look into. An angel would come up to hear a Wesley preach, a morning preach, hallelujah, and even the Joshua generation preach. The angel will come forth to hear. Are you with me? Have you any time been conscious of the angelic presence of God whenever you're ministering? That too many times I've just loved that. This time, just before I went to stand in the pulpit in Gundu. And a huge rain came, and the bundle that people were sitting, that rain began to fall in that place, and everybody had to get up from there and we had to have a session inside the room. Suddenly, everybody leaves the bundle, we go into a new room. So, you know, we're praying for the bundle and doing Jericho punches around the bundle. no more bundle being used in the room. And then the next session, you're going there and ministering. And I said, my Lord. And you know, you go there to stand for worship, and those people come and stand there like this. I would rather preach to an unbeliever. And I said, Lord, what about it? And we went into the top hall, and the place jam-packed. I can't even move about to preach. So I said, Lord, what about it? And suddenly when I was about to go forward, the Lord allowed me to see forth the angelic presence coming. Go through. I'm with you. Every time you step into a pulpit, you say, Lord, let me never go by what I know, but let me go by who I know. Who am I? You move in, and the power of God will take over. Are you with me? They had power in their preaching. Third thing, they were directed supernaturally. Do you know that? Remember, the New Testament were directed by the Holy Spirit. What they had to do, when they had to do, how they had to do, why they had to do, all that was mentioned forth by the Holy Spirit. Have you come into a time like that? When everything that you desire to do in your life is directed by the Holy Spirit, I mean, they had such a strong fellowship with the Holy Spirit, receiving that counsel, they knew what to do, when to do. There are 100 million times I asked the Lord, Lord, is this what you want to do? Is this the way the ministry has to go? Every time I'm in attitude of surrender, some people ask not to obey, but just to hear from God. Some people just ask, just for the sake of asking, but they are already prepared in their minds what they're going to do. Some people come and say, please pray and tell me what to do, but they already decide what they're going to do. But they just want to know what you have to say. Well, the early church was not like that. They were completely directed by the Holy Spirit. A baptism of the Holy Spirit is the door to which you receive every other counsel from God. And you have had a baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many of you here have a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Speaking in new tongues with the outward manifestation of speaking in tongues. Well, that is the first door through which every other gift begins to flow through. Are you with me? If you have never had an experience like that, you need to desire and ask the Lord. Acts 16. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. You know why? The Lord said, leave it for the Joshua generation. And they had gone to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. How many of you would be willing to take a step of faith? The Lord will tell you tomorrow, leave all that you have, your business, your family, everything. Step down and go into somewhere in Gujarat. Go to a village and preach my gospel. How many of you will be willing to do that? That's why I said some people ask, not wanting to obey. Believe me, some of you think that I like to pastor. I never like to pastor. Right? 8 years back when I came to the Lord, my desire and my only desire was, Lord, I want to be an evangelist. Evangelists, you're kind of free. You know what? All that you do is just preach the gospel of salvation. I mean, you don't have to prepare every week something new for the congregation to feed on. Are you with me? You just have to feed yourself with the word. You can do it. I mean, there is no other responsibility. Here you have to give an account for every soul that moves through this place. Are you with me? If one is lost, then God will hold you accountable. You have to go in the presence of God and say, Lord, take care. You have to pray. I mean, things like that. Emmanuel is not bothered by that. I mean, he goes forward and he can stand there and the presence of God will come and he's to preach a message of salvation. Get the sinner saved from the cross of the Lord and go to the next place. See the land for some time. Go to the next place. And that's something that I like. So I said, Lord, please make many evangelists. Please make many evangelists. Now I would pray and I would pray and I would pray. God said, no. This is actually like a huge burden for me. Pastor. It's taken a toll on my health, it's taken a toll on my mind, all that I have to sit in the presence of God. Today morning I was no more on the ship to come here and minister. I said, Lord, please. But then you have to keep your commitment. Before you ever preach in a pulpit, you have to make sure that you have prayed for that congregation. You get up early in the hours of the morning and then you spend time in the presence of God praying for that congregation, praying for everybody who's going to come new, praying for make sure that they can walk in the revival and blessing of God. And then you come to it.
So, whatever the Lord tells you, only when you're prepared to do, will the Spirit actually begin to lead you. What does leading mean?
If you have to lead someone, that person has to be submitted to you. Unless he is submitted to you, you can never lead him. So unless you're submitted to the working of the Spirit and to the openness to the Spirit, he can never lead you through. They were directed by the Spirit. Where to go, when to go, how to go. You remember, Paul wanted to go into Asia, but the Lord said, don't go there. The Holy Spirit said. And so he sent him to Macedonia in a vision. Macedonia, there was just one man to be saved in his family. And for the cause of that one man, his family being saved, Paul and Silas were locked up in a jail. They were flogged. At midnight, they were sitting there and praising God. And then that message was given to the man who had actually flogged them. If I was the one, I would have preached salvation to him. I would have told him about the judgment of God. Don't touch the anointed of God. Don't dare to touch the anointed of God. That's what I would have preached. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. They preached the message of salvation. I think it was Jim Elliot, a man to the missionaries in Ecuador, a missionary to the savages in Ecuador. When he went there, he was killed. And after he was killed, his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, if you worship, read that book. She herself, the minister of the gospel, his wife, she was about just 23 or 24. She had a baby in her hand, and her husband is dead, killed for the gospel. And she knelt down and began to pray for those cannibals, those people who had killed her husband. And there's something that she said. She said, Lord, I want them to be saved. So when I get to heaven, when we have the same home in heaven, I can actually go and hug them. But right now I find it so hard to forgive. But I forgive them. And I want them to be saved. So I can go and hug them. When you are saved. They had supernatural direction. They had a supernatural testimony to the gospel that they preached. Mark 16, 16 to 20. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And the 20th verse says, now they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Are you with me? Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. Second chapter of Hebrews and the third and the fourth verse. Now shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. They had supernatural miracles, signs, wonders and miracles flowing through. Remember, out of that man was killed in Ecuador, his team members went to that same place and began to preach. And nearly 4 or 5 of them lost their lives. Nearly 4 or 5 of them. But they continued to preach that gospel again and again in the same place. And those villagers were saved. He said, once a missionary there went again and he was preaching, and the Indians tried to kill him. So one of the people around him came and said, you hide up in this huge tree. They put him on a tree, huge tree, and he can hear the sound of drum beats and people running to and fro with spears and arrows searching for them. He's standing there, and he stayed there for 4 days, if I'm right. For 4 days he stood there. All the time he said, what kept him was this one scripture. The Lord had said, I will be with you to the very end of age. He said, Lord, I hold on to that promise. And he was standing there in that tree. Rain, all that. For 4 days or 5 days he was standing there. And finally he found that everyone had gone. He got down and he came out. Got on the boat and he escaped. And about a year or two later, the entire village, after having heard the gospel, was saved. He brought his wife and said, this is the place that I stayed. And the promise that kept me was that the Lord shall be with me to the very end of age. And then he jokingly said, one more thing kept me. He said, the cannibals had eaten so many of the evangelists, and the cannibals must have said, I'm tired of the same dish. So let's leave him alone and go out. Hallelujah. Early church had power in their witnessing, in their prayer, in their last one is in their transport. They had power the way they travel. God is increasing His power upon us. I can see people having new cars now. Well, that's not the power that I'm speaking about. The power that I'm thinking about is mentioned in Acts 8 and verse 29, 39, all that. Philip, 25 kilometers away, after he had baptized at Eunuch, after preaching the gospel, 25 kilometers away, he was found because the Spirit of the Lord lifted him up there. Are you with me? Things like that still happen. I told you about this man of God. What is his name, Tanya? Who was supernaturally transported? Mr. Pentecost, I told you once before. He's called David Duplessis. He's called officially, people call him Mr. Pentecost. If you have read Good Morning Holy Spirit, there is a part where Benin mentions him. Benin having an encounter with him, and Benin describes it as the most beautiful time of his life. Now, this man, a great man of God, one day he was coming out of his house and he put his feet out with the Bible. The next minute he knows he's in another place. He's putting his feet into a house. And he wondered, how? He said that very experience would have shaken him if the Holy Spirit had not reminded him of that scripture of Philip having been transported the same way. He opened the door and there was inside that room 3 people trying to cast the devil out of a man. And the devil was tormenting and trying and screaming and making a noise. And they were trying to get the devil out of him. When they were trying that, they could not. So the minute David Duplessis stepped in, since he was walking in the glory of God, he moved in, and immediately the demons began to manifest and go out of that man screaming. Literally came out and went through the window, and he was seeing with his naked ears. I mean naked eyes, but hallelujah. Well, what happened? Literally, the power of God manifested and that man was set free completely. Are you with me? Things like that still happen. I am waiting for a time like that. But if the Lord wants to take you like that, would you be prepared? Just imagine you're coming out of your room. The Lord takes you to a place like that. Demons coming out of the man. you are not prepared in the spirit. You would travel much more faster than the spirit back. You would travel 50 kilometers back, same speed. This man could go in there and the glory of God would be manifested. That is power. Are you with me? How many of you would like to have that kind of power in your life? Fire? Power? Transportation? Direction? The supernatural testimony with signs, wonders, miracles? Preaching? Praying? Are you with me? The very fact of Jesus Christ being the Son of God. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute.